Come Easy Go podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's podcast. This is episode 54, and we've got our guest back, David Barksdale. We're going to finish our little discussion we started last time. Dave, glad to have you back, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
Listen, after you graduated from Woodrow Wilson, how did you end up down at Furman?
Well, tell you the truth, I was hoping West Virginia would recruit me, but it just didn't happen. So I thought, well, where might I could go to play against West Virginia, thinking, I'll show them. So Richmond was one that I thought about going to, and then Furman came into the picture, and I actually went to a year of prep school out of high school at Hargrave.
Oh.
My dad, as I told you, was from Virginia, and he had gone many years ago to Hargrave, and so it was sort of a family thing, and it was the best thing ever happened to me. He gave me another year of maturity and everything, and so I left when I had that year of postgraduate basketball and made me study and helped me a lot. And so I ended up going to Furman.
Now, did you get recruited as a basketball or a baseball? Or?
More basketball, but I actually played both sports in college.
Now, Frank Selby was a basketball coach down there.
Well, he was assistant.
Okay.
The people, I don't know how much you've told them or said, but see, there's only two players in college that's ever scored 100 points. And Frank Selby was one, and I wonder if people remember who the other one is, but it was Bevo Francis from Rio Grande College in Ohio. That's the only two college players that's ever scored 100 points. And then talking about Frank Selby, he went on, it was actually Jerry West and Frank Selby was the backcourt of the Lakers. And Rod Hundley would always say, they called Frank Selby Pops. And he would say, Pops, you know darn well I should be starting instead of you. but Rod Hundley at the time, with those three, were the backcourt. But Frank Selby retired, and he had played at Furman. That's where he scored his 100 points and got his name. He came back as assistant coach my sophomore year. And he was assistant my sophomore and junior year, and then my senior year, Coach Alley, Lyles Alley, was the coach. He retired, and Frank Selby took over.
Now, who was coaching baseball? Was it Powers?
Jackie Powers, yes, yeah. Jackie Powers. And
well, didn't you guys go to the World Series?
Well, we were so close. We won the Southern Conference, and they played the regional to see who was going to Omaha at Gastonia, North Carolina. And it was Maryland, Mississippi State, Florida State, and Furman. And going into Saturday, the last day, we were only undefeated. Furman was undefeated. Florida State had come out of the loser's bracket. And Florida State would have to beat us twice. And the first game, going into the last inning, from what I remember, we were ahead. And they came back and beat us. And then that night, we played again, and they beat us 7-5. That's how close we were to going to Omaha. And we thought we had it going into that last inning that afternoon. But that would have been something.
Now, basketball, most of the time, Furman was either kind of the middle of the pack or sometimes toward the bottom.
Right.
You know, but I can remember as a kid when Southern Conference tournament would come on television, and of course, we used to watch Rod Thorne and
right.
W, whoever they played, Richmond or Davison
right.
or whatever. And usually the local TV stations would have the West Virginia games or how long ever they lasted. And Southern Conference was a big deal. Now, Bain Surrett went to Western Kentucky after high school, and he was down there a couple of years. A freshman couldn't play college, could they?
Well, you know, it's a little fuzzy on me, and I'm so sad every day about Bain passing away, but it was sort of like the Smith from Charleston that went to play it for Virginia Tech, Chris Smith. I was read his book, and somewhere or another, he played his freshman year at Tech. From what I remember reading, if somewhere or another, his senior year, if they had won to go on to the NCAAs, I don't think the ones that played as freshmen could do that. Now, I might be way off. Uh-huh. So when I say Bain did not play his freshman year, I'm not sure whether he did or not. But I know his sophomore year, I laugh because people will get a kick out of this, he was starting as a sophomore, averaging double figures. And Western was a real good program. They had a coach named Ed Diddle, who was a legend. And Bain that ended up going there and signing there. He was a player of the year in West Virginia High School and went there. Anyway, sometime in the wintertime, he called me up. He said, "They won't throw me the ball." I said, "Wait, Bain, what are you talking? They won't throw me the ball." He said, "I want to leave and come down there with you because I know you'll throw me the ball." This is absolutely true. And as it turned out, Bain did leave. In second semester, he went to Beckley College, and then he came down there to Furman and played for Furman. And that's how that happened. He said, "They won't throw me the ball."
I remember you guys coming over the Armory and playing WVU.
Yes, sir.
And I don't know, whoever thought that up was a great idea because it was a crowd. I went to that game, and Ron Fritz Williams was playing for WVU. Carl Head, I think, was on that team. And heck of a ball game.
Yeah, we lost by three. I think it was 85-82, I think it was, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a good marketing. I don't know who got the money, but it was good marketing.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, it poured the snow. If you remember that night, it poured while the game was going on. It was just an awful snowstorm. I remember us leaving there that night. But 85. I think it was 85-82. I believe it was.
Since you mentioned that, we got to go back to the high school tournament just a minute. After you guys won and went undefeated in 62, the next day at the Armory, they were having a Holiday on Ice show or something, and they had an ice rink in the Armory, but they had a reception for you guys when you got down back from Morgantown.
Right.
And I went over to that, and they had y'all actually had to sit on the ice, didn't you?
Yes, sir. Yes.
I think they laid plywood down.
Plywood down, right. Yeah. Yes.
That was, it's funny that those are things I remember, right. You know, right. It was great turnout and good reception for you guys. But now, when Bain stayed there 2 years, now you end up being a co-captain of baseball and basketball? Or?
Yes, sir. Yes, yeah. Sir. Yes, sir.
And now, after you got out of Furman, did you meet Joala at Furman?
No, sir. Met her when I was coaching my first job. And it's ironic, you know, I think back at Furman, one of our players graduated in a real small little school, really out Ridge Spring Mineta High School, and it's really rural as you can get, and it was small Class A, but one of our players left when he graduated and went to Ridge Spring Mineta High School. He stayed there 2 years and took a big job at North Augusta. And then a player that graduated here a year ahead of me took the job at Ridge Spring Mineta, and he only stayed 1 year. And then I'm graduating, and why in the world would those people there hire another Furman graduate? I often think it almost, I'm a religious person and all, I just almost feel like that was supposed to happen. Cause what, I wouldn't have hired another Furman guy. They only stayed 2 years and 1 year.
Yeah.
But they hired me, and if I hadn't have gone there, I would have never met my wife. And I had her two sisters in class there, and that's how they introduced us and all. And
how long did you coach there?
5 years. I stayed there 5 years, and I really was so proud of it. Was Ridge Spring was a school, and Mineta was a school, and they combined. And for 10 years, the two players from Furman got the things off the ground. I'm not going to take credit for any of that. They got the thing started, but actually hadn't had a winning season in 10 years. And I stayed there five, and that last year we won 25 straight. And that was a happy time of my life, meet my wife and us getting married, and have so many fond memories of that little school there. I have to tell you a funny story. Nowadays, I probably get in a lot of trouble. But I started as seventh and eighth grade team there, and only I had one car. And I'd bum a ride up to the junior high and coach from 3 to 5. And my wife, some of the kids didn't have a ride home. Real rural, I mean, really rural. And they would jump in the car, and we'd drop them off at the high school. And I'd take her home, come back. Then I'd coach the varsity from 6 to 8 that night. And some of those kids didn't have a ride home, so they would just stay there. And then I'd practice the JVs from 8 to 10. Every night we had brand new GTO, and had bucket seats. And I'd put my two managers in those bucket seat, and at least 9, maybe more every night I'd take home. And it was so rural, I mean, people won't believe this. They think, oh, Bart's still telling us a story. And I'm not. I would take some one way. I'd go home the other way. I was driving 100 miles every night, taking kids home. Every night. We had 69,000 in 2 years on that GTO, and we never did anything but come to Beckley and drive around where we lived down there. But one night, some nights a kid might get a ride with somebody else, and so I locked up, went home about 6 o'clock the next morning. Ms. Abner, Ed Abner was a boy's name, his mom called and said, Coach, Edward didn't come home last night. I said, oh my gosh. And he had gone back to the bathroom, and I'd locked up, and I mean, it was nothing there. There's no stores, there's no houses, and that poor little eighth grade kid spent the night in that school, and we laughed about it later, but that could have been, now I'd probably be real bad, but we had the biggest time taking kids home and doing that, but Ed spent the night in that darn gym.
Well, you were there about 5 years, and you went to Alderson Broads.
No, I went to Orangeburg Wilkerson, which was a big, big 4A school. It was really one of your bigger schools. I think it might have been the sixth biggest school in the state. I could be wrong, but we played all the Columbia schools, and it was, again, you know, they'd only won 6 games the previous 2 years. And but my gosh, talent-wise, oh my gosh, oh my goodness. And so they just bought into where we ran the ball just like Woodrow does. We ran it and pressured. And I was there 3 years. And first year, we actually went to the state semifinals. And the team that beat us in overtime went and won the state championship the next night by 28 points. So we were close to winning it. We went to the state tournament the next 2 years. I was there 3 years, and it was from a real small school to one of your bigger schools.
How come you left?
My parents were not well. You know, we enjoyed Orangeburg. My wife really, Ridge Spring Mineta, where I was coaching first, was close to where she grew up. She went to Ridge Spring Mineta school when her sisters did. But her parents, and she was one of 7 children, and most of them were still around the home plate. But Orangeburg was only about an hour and a half at the most, away from where she grew up. She loved Orangeburg, I did too, but being the only child, my mother and dad, my mother had a disease that a lot of people would have never heard of, scleroderma. And that's what ended up taking her life, but she suffered so much. And my dad had heart attacks. So I just felt the need to try to get back to West Virginia. And saw where Aldous and Broadus was open. And first time I applied, I got Gary McPherson, who used to be the coach, assistant coach under Gil Catley, West Virginia. He got that job. I mean, he should have got it. I mean, he was so experienced. I was one of the finalists. But anyway, so it didn't work out. And people might not remember this. I tried to get the Woodrow job around 75. And Jackie Joe Robinson, who great man and all, he got that. And so anyway, we were in Orangeburg, and Aldous and Broadus called and said that Coach McPherson was leaving and wanted to know if I was still interested.
You had some good seasons. I know they... I know when they hired you, they said you brought a fast-paced offense, yeah, and that tenacious defense. That's how they described you, yeah, and they were happy with you there.
Well, Fairmont, Coach JoJo Retton, they ruled the roost. They were tremendous. I went over and watched them my first year play an exhibition game, and all I can say is closest thing to a machine I'd ever seen. I mean, that's how good they were. And when we brought the fast break and all, and I remember people downtown would say, Coach, what we like, where you playing? But how are you going to play against Fairmont? I said, well, yeah, we're just going to run the ball, play the same. Oh, Coach, no, Coach, can't do that. And I said, well, that's the way we're going to play. It was Boston Celtics. We'd play the same way. First year we played Fairmont, score was... I think, like, I'm going to give them a little higher, possibly. Maybe 125 they got, and we got maybe 92. And we actually, they traveled not with students that much. The student from Fairmont didn't travel away games that much, but the people who drove Rolls Royces and fur coat women, they would pack their side or whatever. I mean, they would travel well-to-do people. And they actually came down to the dressing room after the game and waited outside for me to come out to shake my hand. And they said, Coach, we appreciate you playing basketball. Said, most people, when we play them, they just try to hold the ball or limit our possessions. We appreciate you playing basketball. And I mean, it's my 40, but anyway, that's what they said. But, well, anyway, we eventually... got where that was quite a night for the Barksdale family. We beat Fairmont for the first time. This was like 79, 78, and hadn't beat them since 1960. But that same night, our son was born. Jalila, when I was in the dressing room, naturally celebrating and beating Fairmont, somebody came down and said, Coach, said, your wife said it's time to go to the hospital. And we had a hospital right on campus. So we went, and
how'd you like living in Philippi?
Real good. Yeah, my wife had so many nice friends, and basketball for me, and I had camps. I started basketball camps, and I find out I about as loved the camps about as much as anything. And we started our camps and had, oh yeah, it was fine. Yeah, if it hadn't been for Woodrow, and I knew if I left AB, I was saying, forget about, you know, how you have ambitions. Forget about going up and doing something higher level. But I'd always had that gnawing feeling about coaching at Woodrow. And so it came open, and I got that.
Now, when you came to Woodrow, the girls' and the boys' job was open, wasn't it?
Not the first year.
Okay.
The first year is... they played separate seasons. They played girls in the fall and the boys in the winter. And Coach Hutchins was pretty good. He about a week before the practice was going to start, I guess my second year, I think it was second year, he called and said, Coach, I need your help. He said, our girls coach just resigned. And would you at least take it this year to get me by? And he said, you know, I was thinking, he was something. He said, you know, you got to be in the gym, and you'll be coaching the girls, and you're a faculty member and all. And we have to have somebody in the gym when the boys are shooting and all. They could go on another court and be shooting and all while you're coaching the girls. So anyway, I took it, and I did the girls in the fall. I think it was 3 years I did that. And we enjoyed that. We went state finals 1 year.
Who coached before?
Judy Thomas.
Okay, okay.
Judy Thomas.
I knew Butch Smith had been there earlier.
Butch started it. And Butch is the one I think had the first girl. No, maybe Edna Phillips.
Yeah.
And then Butch came on, and then Judy came on. And then I think I took it. And then after me, I know Coach Kidd coached a little bit, and Andre White coached a little bit. I can't remember exactly who, but... yeah, I was there 3 years, so we would do it in the fall, and then the boys in the winter. Yes, sir.
Now, when you got the boys' job, they hadn't been to the state tournament since about 78 or something.
Yeah,
like
that was at Tim Shepard and Chase Williams and all had a real good and Mike Ross and some of those people had a real good basketball team.
The first year, you were like 15-7 or something like that, but you guys didn't go to the state tournament.
No, we got knocked out. The Mount View beat us sectional tournament. Well, really, I guess an upset, but that was a heck of a basketball team. I just want people to realize they had Rodney Williams and Jeff Maynard, Greg Rogers, Robert Cobbs, Fred Maxwell, Kenny Swanson, Chad Bowen. Oh, that was a good basketball team. But I came in with what I believed in, which was running the ball and playing man defense. Now, Coach Nichols did a good job. His philosophy was a little different. Mm-hmm. They didn't run like we were going to run, and they played maybe more zone than I believe. So really, I mean, I even tell Gary that if he would have stayed that year, it would probably have been better for those kids, for sure. If he wanted to, you know, kind of do something else, if he could have had that team that year, that could have been really good. As it turned out, we had our moments. Now we had some good games, but
now,
it was
Swanson
just building.
Came back, didn't he?
Swanson was a junior. He was a junior. And the rest of them were seniors. See, you talk about Rodney and Jeff and Robert and Greg, all those were senior. Fred, we had started 5 seniors.
But I remember all those kids playing in the Y.
Oh, I can see that.
And coming up too. And Swanson, the next year, you guys did go to the state tournament, didn't you, in 85?
No, 87. Yeah, 87 was the first year that got it started. Kenny Swanson, I'll tell you a funny story about Kenny. He knows, I tell him all the time. Kenny wasn't a great shooter by any means, but he was quick as a cat. And he started in junior high just shooting it up there knowing he was going to miss because he's going to run in there and get the rebound. And that's where he pretty much did it at Woodrow. He would maneuver around, shoot it, get it, put it in, you know. But he was a good player, played at Bluefield State. Yeah, he was a good player.
Now, you were adding to the culture, too. I mean, when you came back around, you started having camps. You started a summer basketball league, which grew into the biggest thing around. And that was a lot of work. I mean, how your summers, like, was supposed to be an off-season, I guess. You were working in the daytime in camps and nights.
Yeah.
You actually officiated the basketball
games. Yeah, I had to officiate some. And lost a lot of friends. Lost a lot of friends doing that reffing. But, people know you and your wrestling. You had to put, I just knew the camps, and I enjoyed those so much. In fact, the Y started me in my camps. And so we started our camps for kids, and then the summer league. And so I, you know, coaches, your wife would attest, I'm sure, the coach's wife's rough, you know, but I would leave. I'll tell you, our son started playing golf, and we tried to find a junior membership somewhere that we could afford, and we found one at Twin Falls, which I guess about an hour away. So every morning, I would take our son to Twin Falls and get him down there before 8 o'clock. And then my wife at dark, he said, "Man, Mom, don't you come back until it's dark. I want to play as long as I can." And
really?
She would pick him up. She used to tell the story. She said, "I'd see this little figure walking down that last hole when I was pulling around. It'd be tight." But anyway, so I'd take him there, and then I'd come back for 9 o'clock camps and stay till 4. And then she would have supper. I'd get home about 4:20, and she would have supper ready, and I'd have to leave a little after 5 to go pick up the scorekeepers and the clock keepers. And then we had 4 games a night. So I was getting home after midnight. And then I would work on camp schedule after that, make sure next day. But anyway, that's what I did.
That was the off season.
That was the off season. But anyway, that was, people, you well know how much I love basketball and everything. So, but I enjoyed all that. We did have a tremendous summer league, and our camps were good. So,
and summer league, I mean, I can remember going over there and watching games, and the big college coaches walking in, and I mean, it become a pretty big mecca of, you know, a lot of people. People watch the newspaper and see who was going to be playing.
Yeah.
And they come, because you had former college players and college players, high school players.
Had a lot of them. I mean, Jason Williams, who played pro ball. We had a bunch of them. VPI, we used to put a team in, and Charleston people would come. Yes, sir.
Now, you, in 1988, was that when David Kidd?
Yes, sir. Yes.
And that was that team went to the semifinals, didn't they?
That got things started. They actually got where people started, little kids, and started thinking, "Boy, I want to play for Woodrow." That team, Kiko Wallington, David Kidd,
Andre Neighbors
played, Jackie Kyle played, Larry Hickman played, Pennington played. That was a team that got it. Started again, really, just to me, got it started. Because
who'd you lose to in the semis? Do you remember?
Basie, that went on to play at Marcellus. Was it Marcellus Basie?
Yeah.
Played at West Virginia.
Yeah.
Martinsburg beat us in semifinals.
Yeah. That year, I think Marcellus, my son John, was all-state baseball player. He graduated in 89. I think Basie was just a junior that year.
He probably was.
And he was second in the voting for All-State.
Oh,
and I think the next year he was All-State baseball, I think, too.
Oh, well, baseball, yeah, I think he was, too.
He was
That's
a heck
right.
of a player. And but that takes – Coach, we're going to stop it right there because, you know, I'd like to talk to you again when we get into that championship series of the 90s. And,
yes,
and then coaching at Mountain State. And the time was flying. I've really enjoed talking to you.
Well, I hope it – it's good to reminisce, and I hope people found some of that stuff was interesting. I hope so. I appreciate you having me.
I think they will, and I think that especially the Beckley fans, but I think a lot of people appreciate the job you've been doing, and if you'll come back and talk to us, I'd appreciate it.
Well, if you want me, you know I'll be here, and I appreciate you doing it. I appreciate the column in the paper you do, and all the wrestling and stuff, and you know, I'm sure people appreciate that. Kids, you know, everybody likes to see their name in the paper and
Absolutely.
All. So what you're doing is great for wrestling.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. And we've been involved in football fields and tracks and those kind of things. And it's like keep that culture going. And so we'll talk to you again. Again, thank you for coming. Anybody else out there wants to be on the show, just contact me at A.W. Bennett. And
let me say one more thing. People remember Racine Thompson and Tom Vidovich.
Oh, yeah.
They were wrestlers when I was in high school, and, boy, they were something. And I just want to make sure, I'm sure people remember Racine and Tom Vidovich. Boy, I appreciate them.
Yeah, Racine's been a big help to us with the Raleigh County Wrestling Hall of Fame, and he refereed a little bit afterwards after he got out of high school, and has done a great job for us. But yeah, I remember those guys myself. But well, thank you for being here, and remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. Until next time, God bless you.